Greetings to all in the name of Jesus. May we all come to the Lord in the sincerity of faith, having no other purpose than to be of service to the King who has made known to us the ways of life. And for this last portion of our daily devotional for the week, I just want to thank you all for your encouragement and your testimonies and your strength of faith. I want to thank especially Brother Andrew Peary for giving me the opportunity to speak to the people. And I pray that in some measure these thoughts from the scriptures have helped to put life into each and every partaker. As those of us who speak of the glory of true faith, we know that it's not of our own selves. We give the Lord praise, but the glory of true faith does not come from us. But it comes from the God who gave us our voices. And this work of the Bible, which brings us into a perfect place in Christ, puts the love of God within us. And this gospel that we preach, it changes things, and it brings light out of the darkness of the void as it speaks to the inward soul, the inner being of what God has put in place. So today, in speaking of the greatness of faith, I pray that it would be the Lord's will to show how the Word of God changes minds and hearts. And again, to focus on a certain person as example from these heroes of faith contained in Scripture. And in this particular case, that would be Nathanael of St. John chapter 1. Just the first chapter of St. John, it's miraculous of its own. The first five verses there contain the entire scope of the wonder of creation, a type of Genesis chapter 1 of the New Testament. And then we go on to see the true light that came in the witness of John the Baptist, the one chosen to help prepare the way for the ministry that would shake the world, that came in Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, brought out of Egypt as a child to fulfill his mission, and thus would the ways of life come to us, as it was when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God. He has come." What a beauty that St. John chapter 1 is. And what a beauty it is to behold him, to serve and inquire in the Lord's temple. That's an eternal feeling. And life is meant to be eternal. God deemed it so from the very beginning. But of course, as our Bible story tells us, the enemy had his own plan to cause death and sin to enter into the picture. But God still desired the life of the man and the woman to continue forever, but he did not intend for that life to be eternally sinful. Something would have to change. Something so very powerful would have to come in and cleanse humanity from the depths of despair that sin is, and grant us all an eternal pardon. And the Almighty God showed us a way to get back to his original intent, to bring life and to sanctify one who is not holy, and to change him or her to someone who is made holy in Jesus' name, and a vessel meet for use to every good purpose under heaven. The blood of Jesus, it would do that. Faith in Jesus and the very faith of Jesus would get the sinful stains out, and that changed everything. So then, nothing compares to faith that works by love. It sustained all those who depended upon it in the days of the prophets, does the same for us today, in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. And as God is love, and Jesus being the personification of love, then eternity came to us as the Son of Man in Christ. And if God is love, then love is an eternal concept, because God is eternal. As love was always there. Mankind did not invent the precept of love. It existed of its own, just as the wisdom of God did, as spoken to in Proverbs chapter 8 and Proverbs chapter 9. Love was always there, before the high mountains or the low valleys, before the fountains of water gave forth their life-giving stream, just as wisdom was always there, just as faith was always present with God. Faith, love, and wisdom, these are all eternal words. They have no beginning or ending. They exist with the Lord. They exist of themselves as God does. And when Jesus spoke that he was the way, the truth, and the life, those also are eternal words. Life has no end in the Lord, and the way that leads to there, born of the always present, ever-existing truth, it cannot be overcome. So this is the hope that I believe in and that I offer to everyone, not because of any wisdom or gift that I possess. These things were in place a long time before I ever got here. But these things are eternal, and this hope is not the mere wishful thinking of just wanting something to be, but yet that person would have doubt as to whether it would really happen. Our hope is based on eternal things, which makes it a better hope than just the mere wishing for something to be. Our hope is in the better promises that are assured. Just as the blood of Jesus, it speaks better things than that of Abel's, this faith, it speaks better things to us. So, for opening scripture, let's look at Psalms 55, and I'm going to read from verse 16. As we talk about the thing that makes all the difference in the world, that this faith is, and it makes all the difference for the world which is to come. In Psalms 55, we're looking for something that makes all things to be different in Jesus' name. And in Psalms 55 and verse 16, it reads, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God." Here in the prayer song of David, in the aftermath of all the things that happened to him, his betrayal by his own son, Absalom, and that of his trusted counselor, Ahithophel, which will show by prophetic type an example of the betrayal that would happen in the life of Christ concerning one Judas Iscariot. It shows those things. But in this example, David the king comes to a very profound conclusion. Those who do not change their ways and their doings have not learned to fear the living God, because they have no changes. Therefore, they fear not God. So even those who follow the Lord in truth and in spirit need to have changes within themselves as they take in more revelation light, which we'll see in our forthcoming example in St. John chapter 1 and Nathaniel. We need changes to happen in our life. And as good a person as Job was, as we spoke about the other day, being even the best person ever born on the face of the earth, save for Christ alone, who was sinless, but even Job, he had to reach a state of realization and repentance. He needed a change in his outlook. And certainly here, out of Psalms 55, certainly David himself needed to change after his sin in the matter of Bathsheba, or some make it the pronunciation of Bathsheba. But he did change. He repented and changed, which made him to be a man after God's own heart. And he may have been far from perfect in the manner of the flesh, but he would see the error of his ways, and he would sorrow over them with godly sorrow. That made him to be someone that the Lord could deal with, even to do this, establish a covenant with him. That's who God seeks, people who will realize there's a better way. There's a truer way. There's an eternal way. And faith always has to do this. It seeks a higher level. And this being a seek and ye shall find gospel, faith must rise up. And faith has wings to do that, that must reach unto the heights. And of course, as you well know, Jesus sought for this intensely. It's the treasure that he looked for. Jesus didn't search for the lost Ark of the Covenant. He didn't go looking for Solomon's gold. What he looked for was faith. and was amazed when he found it, like as with the Roman centurion of Matthew chapter 8 and Luke chapter 7. So we should be amazed too, whenever faith is found, as if we had just discovered spiritual gold, because, of course, that is what occurs when you find the blessing of faith, because faith is the most valuable thing there is. And Jesus would recognize it within Nathanael in our example from St. John chapter 1. He would recognize it in the Israelite who has no guile, no false purpose, no evil intent, no hidden agenda. So let's look at St. John chapter 1, and we'll draw upon the strength of the scriptures from verse 44 and read the example given, which says, "Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see." Well, you just have to come and see. Here is the seek and ye shall find principle of the gospel at work. Nathanael says, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" For he knows about the prophecy of the Messiah, whom Philip claims to have found. It's foretold to take place in Bethlehem, being written in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. But yet the scripture tells also of the Messiah that he shall be called a Nazarene, who would be the deliverer. And Nathanael went with Philip because his heart was seeking. So that's an action of faith that'll have great reward. And he was thinking about spiritual things. I believe he was thinking about the consolation of Israel that was promised and written from the clues given to us here in the final verse of John chapter 1 at verse 51, in the reference and the like language of the example of Jacob's ladder. So I believe he was very likely thinking about that. And the words of Jesus will make him hearken to those things. As we pick it up again, we left off at verse 46, and now from verse 47 we read, "Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile, no false purpose. He was just who he appeared to be." And verse 48, "Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." And I believe he was thinking about the subject of verse 51, whereupon the Lord said, "You'll see greater things. You'll see angels of God ascending and descending," like it was with the instance of Jacob's ladder. So upon hearing this at verse 49, Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." And therein does the honest fear of the Lord bring realization to the Israelite, in whom was no deceit, no false purpose, no ulterior motive. This great moment of faith, prepared for from so long ago, it comes to pass. It did what Psalms 55 pleaded for. It changed things. Nathanael has a whole new perspective on everything. His heart was right, but it gave him a whole new perspective, for he had said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And his faith had sustained him to that point, but now he saw greater things. He has come from the Old Testament foundations to a New Testament realization that here is the King in living flesh. And the change within him was this, that whereas a few moments ago he had said and thought, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Now in just a short span of time, now it's, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, the King of Israel." Just that fast, his whole mindset was turned around. What a change. But he was prepared for that change by his honesty, his sincerity, his integrity. So then the lesson that we must be ready for is for God to reveal things to us. And sometimes it'll come in real time. For one day, the thunder of God's voice will be heard and we'll all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And Christian virtues and characteristics prepare us for moments like this, for the moment of truth when God will speak to us. And these gospel accounts give to us in full measure the greatness of what faith is and what it can do. Faith will bring a change to us all, and may all be blessed thereby. Amen and amen.